You may be familiar with the name Rick Steves. You may have never heard of him before and wondered why in the world he has two first names. If you have not, I highly recommend Rick Steves to you. He's not a church leader. He's not a theologian. He's a travel writer. He's very Lutheran and very fascinating. And he writes about all sorts of fascinating and interesting places to visit around our world. And I happen to think he has a marvelous perspective on how the world should be looked at, and loves visiting and seeing different places. And sometimes, if you like, he has a radio program that he releases as podcasts, so you can listen to them all. And the one that he had out this week was talking about Thanksgiving. The notion that Thanksgiving isn't just something we celebrate here in the United States, but was also looking historically at how we as Americans have celebrated Thanksgiving throughout the ages. He had a food historian on. I love the concept of a food historian. It's a sort of history lesson that I think I can get rather firmly behind, figuring out what sort of things people did or did not used to eat. And so he said to the food historian, you know, in the early days of Thanksgiving, what was it that people liked to eat? And she said, well, I happen to have with me a cookbook from Northern Ohio. I said, all right, Northern Ohio. She says, this cookbook comes from the turn of the century, not the 21st or the 20th century, but the 19th century, just as we're making the transition from the 1800s to the 1900s. And she says, it has here a sample menu for a family for Thanksgiving. And I remember thinking, oh, this would be kind of interesting to see what you'd like. She says, they had a stuffed turkey. I said, well, okay, that sounds familiar. And then she said, now mind you, this is all just one menu for one family. This isn't just suggestions. He said, okay. He says, they also included one roast duck. Oh, okay. And a roast goose. And a stuffed ham. Corn from a can. Green beans from a can. Candied yams. Sweet potatoes. Mashed potatoes. They also included in this five or six different kinds of salad, three or four different kinds of bread. And then they went on to go through the other side items, the pickled items, the fresh items, several of each. And at some point, Rick stops her and says, well, hold on a second here. Before we get to the desserts, because I got a feeling this goes on a while, is this for one family? Is this a large event? Is this like a community thing that was happening? He says, no, this is just for one family. She says, this is just what people would do for Thanksgiving. Might keep in mind back then, turkeys were not 16 pounds. Turkeys were a lot smaller than they are today. So, you know, if you had your family in, and we're talking about the turn of the last century, you had your family in, and all of your family were there. Let's say you had a normal-sized family for the late 1800s. That means you might have 8 to 10 children. And let's assume that you've got them all married off, and they have 8 to 10 children. So now how many people do you have together? Well, you might have 70 or 80 people together for Thanksgiving. So now you do need a stuffed turkey, and a goose, and a duck, and a ham. And she says, you know, people were wanting to sort of demonstrate their modernity, which is why it lists a can of corn and a can of green beans, because this was a new thing. This was a fancy thing. You went to somebody's house in mid-November, and they had corn. You were like, where did you get corn? Corn hasn't been growing for weeks and weeks and weeks. I have a can of corn. And everybody would be like, ooh, canned corn. Of course, nowadays, we look at canned vegetables and we're like, oh, canned corn, you know? Because we can go to the grocery store and we can get green beans in December and January if we want to, because they've been shipped to us from far, far away. But back then they couldn't. And then she goes on to list the 12 different kinds of pie, the 4 different kinds of cake, and 3 different kinds of donuts, and just all of the things. And she said, of course, people would eat this food for 2, 3, 4 days, because folks would have traveled from far, far away to all get together, and you know, you didn't want to be like, okay, Thanksgiving dinner's over, everybody get out. You know, it wasn't sort of, we finished the dinner, we've done the dishes, everyone go home. They didn't have any highways or interstates that they could do that on. So they were in for a good several days, and the Thanksgiving that they would have celebrated would have been fairly sizable. She says, but there's another thing about Thanksgiving that people don't realize. And that is that when this cookbook was published around the end of the 1800s, beginning of the 1900s, Thanksgiving was a new holiday for the United States. You don't think of it being a new holiday because, of course, all the stories we tell about Thanksgiving have to do with the Pilgrims and Plymouth Rock. But she says it's important to note that for most of early American history, that was only celebrated in one small section of New England. That wasn't a national holiday. That was just something that they did in one small section of the Northeast. And that for your average person living all the rest of the way around the United States, there was no November Thanksgiving. It was following the Civil War when Abraham Lincoln wanted to draw the broken, shattered pieces of the country together around a central concept that he made the Thursday in November that we know of as Thanksgiving a day that was a federal holiday. So for the people who were reading this recipe in the late 1800s, they were only a generation or so into Thanksgiving. And part of it was we just hadn't all fully decided what we wanted to eat. And I know people that aren't big turkey fans. I don't understand you, but I know you. You just got to do it right. It's good stuff. But I know that there are people out there who do entirely different things. I was in the grocery store the other day, and there was a guy who was stocking up on fish. He's like, yeah, I don't like turkey, so we always do fish at my house. I was like, well, that's an interesting alternative. And as it happens, the United States did not know what we were going to do until a magazine, of all things, a ladies' magazine that specialized in recipes, published a traditional, quote-unquote, Thanksgiving dinner from New England. That if you wanted to eat like the Plymouth Rock settlers ate, this is what you would eat. She listed Thanksgiving dinner was turkey, stuffing, gravy, mashed potatoes, cranberry salad, and sweet potatoes. I think most of us could look at our Thanksgiving table and say, yep, we were probably heavily influenced by that lady back in the 1920s that we've never met, because that sounds like most of our tables on Thanksgiving, unless you're one of those non-turkey people and you said, today I want to have a bunch of fish on the table. I got relatives that do different things, so that's okay, but I'm pretty sold on turkey. However, it's not the first time the United States has taken a day to set aside to remember to be thankful. In fact, we're told that the very first president of the United States, George Washington, set aside a national day of thanksgiving and prayer. And in fact, almost every president that succeeded him set aside one national day of thanksgiving and prayer. And it was always worded that way. That it was to be set aside as a day of national thanksgiving and prayer, because the understanding was that if we as a nation were to prosper, if we as a nation were to anticipate being anything more than we were the generation before, that we had to be a people who prayerfully came before our God and were thankful and appreciative of what we have in our lives. That was the key to us as a nation moving forward. So every generation before then, we'd had national days of thanksgiving and prayer. Ironically enough, many of them were associated with fasts. Kind of the exact opposite of thanksgiving. Unless, of course, you're one of those folks that say, I'm not going to eat anything for breakfast or lunch on the day of thanksgiving, so I can get to the table as hungry as at all humanly possible with my sweatpants with the elastic waistband on. But we understood, and we've always understood, that there is a fundamental element of thanksgiving that is necessary for us as human beings. That if we're not thankful, if we're not appreciative, if we cannot look beyond ourselves to give thanks for what we have, we will not progress forward. To have a thankful and appreciative heart is a key to life. We're told that people that take time and set aside time to be thankful of the things that we have, to show appreciation for what we have in every single element of our life, are happier. They're wholer. They're more successful. If you're married and you take time to spend each day telling your spouse what you are thankful about when it comes to them, you're going to have a happier marriage. If you take your children aside and say, I'm very thankful that you are this or you are that or you do this or you do that, your children will grow up more successful. If we as a nation spend time to look to heaven and say, what we are thankful for about the life that we lead together is this, that, and the other thing, we will be happier and more successful. Why does being thankful matter so much? We all like to be thanked. I mean, there's nobody on the face of the planet who's ever done something for somebody else and gotten thanked and said, oh man, please don't thank me. That makes me feel very unpleasant. I mean, there are some of us that are not so good at expressing that we have appreciated being thanked. That's nothing. It's no big deal. Anyone could have done it. But still, it feels good to be thanked, doesn't it? But Thanksgiving isn't about thanking other people. It's about being thankful to God. It's why when George Washington declared the first National Day of Thanksgiving was called the Day of National Thanksgiving and Prayer. So that we as a nation might be thankful to God who has first provided for us everything we have. Because being thankful means we are also humble. Being thankful means that we are also aware that we are not the source. We are not the genesis. We are not the beginning point for what we are to be thankful for. We are the end result. Jesus, as he takes his disciples aside, and he says to them, here is how I want you to understand judgment. He says, I've spoken to you in metaphors before, now I give it to you plainly. When the Son of Man comes again in his glory, he will render judgment on the people of this world, and he will look at them and he will separate them as the sheep on the one side and the goats on the other side. Now, I have to say, I don't have anything against goats. I don't know why they always get the bad side of this equation. But sheep and goats, the sheep on my right, the goats on my left, the sheep, the ones whom God has judged just. He will say, you are the ones who did these acts of service. You are the ones who offered food to the hungry. Drink to the thirsty, clothing to the unclothed. You welcomed the stranger. You visited those who were lonely. And because of this, you now enter into my rest. And here's the fascinating part about this. They don't say back to the Son of Man, you're welcome. We knew you'd like it. You know, they don't say, well, we figured you'd like it if we did that. They say in confusion, how did we see you hungry or thirsty or naked or a stranger or alone and serve you? We don't remember doing that. Jesus says, you don't remember doing that because you did it for those who could not adequately thank you because they lacked the resources to repay you for what you did. You did it out of your heart. You didn't do it because you expected to be thanked. You didn't do it because you expected to be patted on the back. You didn't do it because you expected to get repaid in like kind. You didn't give food to someone knowing that the next time you went out to dinner, they'd pick up the check because it was their turn. He says, you did it for those expecting nothing in return. Why would you have done that except that you already knew that you were those who have received everything from God and that you could not pay God back? That you've already received from God life, life everlasting, life abundant, forgiveness and renewal of life. You were those who stood before God already fed with the grace of God, and through that you served your neighbor. Not out of a desired return to yourself, some pat on the back. You did it to those who were least likely to pat you on the back. because you knew that that was what your Father in heaven was calling you to do. Being thankful is about not just recognizing how blessed we are, but being reminded that being blessed calls us then to serve others out of our blessedness. Because we stand humbly before the throne of God and give thanks for everything we've received. And when we are humbled before the throne of God and recognize that everything we have is a gift first from God, then we are enabled to give to our neighbor, not out of a sense that now I get my back, now I get my thanks, now I get my praise. No, we do it out of a sense that we are those who have received as gifts everything we have, and now we humbly give it to others for no other reason than they need it. Jesus says to those who are on the left, "You did not give me food when I was hungry, drink when I was thirsty, comfort when I was a stranger, company when I was alone. You did not give me clothes when I was cold." And they say, "Well, if we'd known it was you, we'd have given it to you because we want to go to heaven." Jesus says, "It's not how it works either. It's not about what you have to give God in order that God will let you into heaven. It's about were you first living in a state of humbleness? Were you first living in a state in which you recognize that you were those who had first received from God everything you had and were therefore humbly ready to give to your neighbors? So as we as a nation, and a nation that's been practicing the fine art of giving thanks for over 200 years, as we as a nation set aside a day this last week to remember to be thankful, I hope we all remember that as fabulous as a good turkey is, and cranberry sauce and stuffing and mashed potatoes and sweet potatoes and all the leftovers that we're probably going to be eating until like the middle of next week, right? That as we who are those who have received this great, marvelous holiday, may we also be those who remember why we do the celebrating in the first place. To remind us to be thankful for the fact that everything we have is a gift. To look at it truly as though it is something that has been offered to us by a God who is loving and kind and merciful, in order that we might in turn look at our neighbors and treat them the same way. Amen.